I hope you've gotten the point. God is said to love you when he's watching your back, even when you are not aware that he's there. That's a manifestation of his love. Now, if it wasn't crucial, listen to this. If it was not importantly different, the attitude of God towards a cheerful giver, Paul would not have bothered to express it like that. God loves everybody. Is that okay? Do you believe that? If you believe it, say amen. But one thing I always say, spiritual things are in measures. Did you hear what I said? Spiritual things are in measures. They have measure. The ability, if I say this, will make you laugh. God doesn't hear the same prayers on the same level. That's everybody's prayer. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 1. Read it in your Bible. I don't have time to go to it. Let me just quote it. He said, even if Samuel, Moses and Samuel were to ask what you're asking for Jeremiah, I wouldn't even hear. What does that mean? He said, even if Samuel, Moses and Samuel were to ask for this thing you're asking for, I won't even listen. What does that tell you? That is, there is a different weight which Jeremiah recognized. You think when many people are praying, and when Jeremiah, when Moses and Samuel are praying, God will want to destroy a whole nation. Moses will stand like this and say, you have to pass through me to get to them. And God will stop. Any other person, God will just trample you down and continue. He will continue what he started. But in the case of Moses, no, God will slow down first. Moses, let me pass. Because Moses, you're not going anywhere. Let me pass and destroy these people. Moses will just stand like this. God will neither pass his left or his right. Are you getting what I'm saying? No. That's how powerful Moses was. So when he wanted to explain to Jeremiah that this prayer is fruitless, he said, even if you invite Moses and Samuel to help you, I won't even hear. Do you get my point? You know the way he said that, even if you go and call my mother, I won't listen. Do you get what I'm explaining? I even can't listen to tell you that when your prayer is too hard, call Mary to help you with it. That is, everybody recognize that different people have different ways when it comes to prayers. I'm bringing out an issue here. Spiritual things are in levels. So when we say God loves, when Paul took the time out to explain that God loves a cheerful giver, what he means, simple, is very simple. That his attitude towards the cheerful giver is not the same towards those who are, towards every other person, even though they are believers. That is, the amount of blessing he showers on the man who is a cheerful giver is not the same as that which he showers on everybody else. Listen to me. The amount of protection he gives him is different. The amount of conversion of curses to blessing is different. Now, what I'm saying is very, very correct. And there is a reason for it. I will explain the reason in a moment. That's the meaning of the word, God loves a cheerful giver. The question now is that, who is a cheerful giver? Shouldn't we answer that? Is it the man who gives plenty? Not necessarily. Is it the man who dances to the altar as he's giving his offering? No, not necessarily. How do I know? Because God spoke to Samuel categorically. Man looks on the outside, but I look at the heart. If I call somebody a cheerful giver, it has no bearing with what is going on outside. It must be something that's inside his heart that I am seeing. That's why I called him a cheerful giver. That's why I said, look, dancing and giving large offerings, both of them can be characteristics of a cheerful giver. They can be. And oftentimes, they are. But, let me tell you something. If I promise you, as an example, that give me, let's assume the money you have put together is 50,000 naira. I say, give me that 50,000 naira. And in 2 weeks, you will have 50 million. As you are giving it, you will be rejoicing. Rejoicing unto what? Your 50 million. Every man who has been defrauded by a 419, cheerfully give to the 419 man. Do you understand the point? So the reason why you are dancing, God checks it. He doesn't say, see my son. There he is, cheerfully giving. There are those who give. Look, let me tell you something. Forget the fact that these days we have mixed everything up. No? You know, you know, every tribe in Nigeria introduced some bad things into the culture of the whole nation. You know that? I'm a Yoruba man. There are two things Yoruba men introduce into the country. One very good, the other one very bad. Let me tell you the good one first. They are very respectful of their elders. Very, very. You won't say Yoruba man abuses the elder public. Unless na bastard, that is, you not get papa. No matter how much money he has, he doesn't walk into a king's palace standing erect. He must prostrate. Is a culture there? It's a good one. Let's not discuss that. Let me tell you the bad one. That's what I want to discuss. You know what this Owambe? You know Owambe is a Yoruba word. Ostentation. They taught Nigerians how to show off. How to finish a whole year's earning on a two-day ceremony. Now they'll start up. We taught Nigerians how to wear agbada. You get my point? You want that longer than your hand. So to pack it, you will shake it like three times before it reaches here. Pack the second one, shake it like three times. We have, now, what I'm going to say, we have mixed everything into Christianity now. Some of those bad cultures, that's what I'm trying to explain. We have mixed everything into Christianity. Listen, you know, when God is describing who is a cheerful giver, he doesn't look at all outwardly. He sees squarely on what is going on in the person's heart while he's giving. What I'm going to explain is this. What do I mean when I say that we learn bad? No, one of the bad things we have learned, I see it a lot in churches around, on TV, everywhere, is this culture of showing off. I'm giving this amount. Some people rejoice. You know what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said they love to have their praise from men. Therefore, they pray publicly. They do their alms publicly. These days, we believers, you know, we have learned it too. Yes. I made up my mind some time ago. That one, I know they do again. If you like, put a gun to my throat. Which you will not do because it is church. I'm not going to answer you. If you pressure me too much, I will tell you publicly that what I am giving is in my right hand. I am commanded my left hand should know about it. I'm not explaining something. Why people rejoice outwardly? There are different reasons, though. You know, why do you think we do launching publicly and print under the distinguished chairmanship of Sir Professor Doctor Chief? I know, and if it's from my side of the country, we don't like the word chief anymore because there are too many chiefs. So you now tell them the kind of chief that you are. Bashorun or Tumba. Why do you put his name there? Because when you put Bashorun on the stage, he must perform. Especially when he's planning to campaign next year. I'm trying to explain what is not cheerful giving. That is outward, and it is not what God calls a cheerful giver. Once he's giving, listen, because of things like, number one, listen to this. You may not like it, but I'll tell you. Because what they have promised him, that if you sow this seed, you will get, he's not a cheerful giver. If he is giving it, because everybody is watching him, he's not a cheerful giver. If he's giving it because of what he will get in return, he's not a cheerful giver. Either the praise of men or even promised spiritual reward, he's not a cheerful giver. He does not qualify for that special addition of what we call the love of God, which I've already explained. He doesn't. I'm watching my time, so I have to rush through many things I want to say. Who is a cheerful giver? Listen to me, a cheerful giver is born out of faith and hope. In fact, there are three things. Three things make somebody a cheerful giver. He said, now these three things abide. What? Faith, hope, and what? And love. Those are the three things that you operate by that makes you a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is motivated purely by these three things. Whether we like it or not, it's a matter of fact that the Bible says you do good expecting nothing in return. A man who does good, listen, these are the reasons. When giving is done based on these premises, then God calls that person a cheerful giver. What do I mean by faith, hope, and love? Let's talk about love, the greatest of the three. That is the most important thing that makes somebody a cheerful giver. Go and read the context, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, that we just took one from. You will see what Paul was motivating people towards, all right, was to help those who were in distress. My best example is the widow of Zarephath. She qualifies for cheerful giver under two, in fact, on 2 years. Two of them. In fact, three. Faith, hope, and love. Let me talk about the love part of her cheerful giving first. If you read through the scriptures, you will see that the widows that gave to prophets that were blessed by it, they have the other with them, the other woman, sorry, not widows, the other woman now, the Shunammite woman. Why did she give to Elisha? Because she perceived that this is a man of God who passes by them every so often. Oh God, I have so many things to say. Let me just keep saying them. I hope you follow me. There's what the Bible calls a prophet's reward. Let me quickly say it now, all right? What is a prophet's reward? Listen, God doesn't ask people to serve him for nothing. For every obedience to the commands of God, there is a blessing attached. For every execution of the assignment of God, there is a blessing attached. For example, let us assume that God called an evangelist to go to new heaven. We're here now. I want you to preach so that every young man and every young woman between the ages of 18 and 25 will give their life to Christ. That is my assignment for 2008. When God says that, instantly he ties, listen to me, both spiritual and material blessing to that commission. He does that. Now, I'm not saying this is all there is to the spiritual and material blessing, but I want to say things that we can easily relate with. Is that okay? So, for example, he can say, I am giving 200 houses, 200 children, do you follow? 100 cars, and 650 university degrees as reward for this evangelistic work that I have commissioned. Now he calls somebody, that's his name, is Brother Israel. Go and do the work. And all Israel does is grab a microphone, you know, deeper lifestyle, and hangs his megaphone. We have come again. That's in the Heaven Junction. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Repent before it is too late. Don't worry about the accuracy, that the fineness of the doctrine is irrelevant. As long as he's standing there and talking anything he likes, the Spirit of God starts doing his work. Starts gathering the 18-year-olds down to 26 and starts moving them to come and hear. They start like, there's a joker down there, let's go and watch. It's the Spirit of God moving them to come and hear. Now, he's doing his own work. And God said, look, you need about 27 hours of effective preaching to get the job done. Every hour he shows up there, God is marking him. Then one guy is passing and say, look at the way they are laughing at this man. He's not right now. So he calls two of his friends and they go home and they start praying for the brother Israel and the work he's doing. That's four people that are going to share the prophet's reward. Then somebody says that, this is a serious work. Sir, please, why don't we get a canopy there and do this? That will cost a lot of money. He said, I'm coming. Then he gathered about 20 people. Brethren, this is our new heaven, needs revival. We need revival in this place. And then they all gather money to build a platform and put speakers and all. Are you getting my point? Everybody is sharing in that prophet's reward. It's centered around the ministry of Brother Israel. That's why we call it Israel's reward, prophet's reward. Do you get my point? He's a point man. There are those who will say that, I only see this brother. After he finishes preaching, he will look so tired. They'll go and be cooking food, waiting that when he finishes preaching. The Bible says that they are given to him because he's a prophet. Listen to me. Not because they are broke. Not because, listen, that they want to share in the prophet's reward. No! They are doing it because there is a prophetic assignment going on. Let me tell you, motive matters with God though. Let nobody tell you that motive doesn't matter. If you gave because you hear that giving to that man will give you money, you may as well flush it down the toilet. The real motivation that qualifies you for that guy's reward is that you are concerned either about him personally or about the work that he's doing and the people he's ministering to or everything put together. Not because you are hungry. Hunger is not the motivation for giving. Tell your neighbor, I know you have heard the opposite too long. Turn to somebody and tell the person, your poverty is not motivation for giving. Tell the person, I want to. Your need, tell that fellow, your need is not the motivation for giving. Listen, it's not. That is why we go and steal cars and give it as offering. I heard a joker preach once. He said that if a sinner, you can give until you enter into salvation. Why does he have to give? It's the same joker who told me that even if the money is blood money, we have big blood to use to wash blood money. Do I need to tell you he's a joker? Your lack, your need is not a motivation for giving. I'm discussing what makes somebody. I just wanted to go off the tangent quickly. So the prophet's reward, are you getting me? Is given to everybody who participates in the ministry. Some, they are the one preaching. Listen, the fact that you hear Pastor Vanke's voice every Monday and every Thursday, and for those of you who come here every Tuesday and every Saturday, four times a week, doesn't mean you will get to heaven. And they say, time to share a reward. You will now share. Pastor Vanke, please pass. Please pass now. Did they call you? It doesn't mean. I hope you know. That's human judgment. For the work of Kingdom Word Ministries, listen, there are people that the day God will share the reward, I will never have seen them. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That is, they say, okay, for the work, no, let me just summarize it. For the work of Kingdom Word that was done beginning of so and so year in Enugu, that was championed, physically speaking, by this, my son here. Here are the rewards. Many of the people who collect it will never meet until that day. God will just say, oh, my girl, come. One woman that used to be an old woman will show up for all the night she did not sleep, praying for this man, praying for this work, praying for the radio station, praying for the listeners, praying for electricity, praying for this. Here is your reward. I, Banky, will not be surprised because I've been taught now. Do you understand my point? I say, oh, madam, it was nice working with you. There will be somebody that all he gave to the work was 1,000 naira. Now, people are giving 1 million, 10 million, 50 million. Whatever. Did you get my point? And God will say, ah, come, my guy. Champion. Come. Say, why? Because when he gave 1,000 naira, he actually had only 900 naira. He had to quickly go and do laborer's work between 8 and 9 o'clock next morning to pay the balance 100. To you, it may have just been 1,000. To me, it was like 200 billion. God knows how he judges people. If you read Rejoiner, and I told the story in one of my books, titled Grace to Prosper, the book should be out early next year or later this year actually, but we'll have gone on break by the time it shows up. Rick John and described how two people were there and they were going to, God asked him a question. Do you think I approve more, or who is pleasing me more of these two people? He showed one guy, nice man. He goes to the homeless, gives them food, gives them shelter, you know, gives them, preaches to them, shared tracts, prays for them. And he showed the other guy who was going on the road and a cat stumbled across his path. You know what they call a cat? A small one. And the guy wanted to kick the cat. Why do you cross my leg? Maybe it was cold. You know the way cats behave. He wanted to kick the cat. Then he restrained himself and shoved the cat out of the way. Angrily. And God asked Regina, who do you think pleased me more of the two people? Obviously, it is the missionary who is sharing with the poor, who is giving them food, who is praying for them. But of course, the way I've told the story, you know, it probably is not. It was the other guy. But the reason is what you don't know. Except you've read the book. God says, a matter of proportion. See that guy doing all the good works? He was born by good parents. They loved him. You know the way, those of us who have kids, you know the way we love our kids. How are you? Hey, Bobo, come. Give me five. High five. You know, play with your kid, you know. They loved him. Gave him everything. Taught him the word of God since he was a young boy. Father was a preacher. He grew up to be a preacher. He said, I have given me 100 doses of love. All he's using is probably 75 or 80. Which for you is a lot of work. You can see the bright work that this guy is doing. Say, but this other guy, he was born deaf. His parents hated him. They used to keep him in the attic. You know what the old man calls attic? That attic or basement, one of the two of them, to hide him away from visitors. They never loved him. Finally, he got run away from home. He was brought up in an orphanage and he was a bad boy in the orphanage. Because of his experience, he was mean. So one day they kicked him out of the orphanage onto the streets. He had to fend for himself as a child. That he had only 3 doses of love. And that was what he employed not to kill that cat. That he used all the love inside him to restrain himself from giving that cat the kick that would have killed it. He said, 3 out of 3 is 100. 80 out of 100 is 80. Who pleased me more? The guy who didn't kill a cat. See, that's why this cheerful giver thing. You know, my wife and I were discussing the other day. There are different companies in which you can work. You know that. If you're a pastor that looks at people's offerings and people's checkbook, you will give yourself a headache. Because a man might come to town working for a company and they pay him maybe 250,000 naira a month. And his friend comes to town working for a company, they pay him the same amount of money. The first guy comes from company A, drives an official car, lives in an official house, official phone. You know, that kind of phone that I have many friends, including well, my brother is not here, works in Zane. They credit his phone with more credit in a month than I buy in 5 months. You know, your credit the phone. I have to buy the credit. That is why I'll be doing MTN Zone. If you do MTN Zone, MTN League, MTN Golf, he doesn't care because he doesn't have to put money on the phone. He just keeps talking. And he's supposed to be he's a small boy. How much do they credit your guys? Those ones just talk, you know, they kind of just leave the phone or don't quench it. Just keep talking. There are different kinds of people. They live in a very nice house, all paid for by the company. They want to travel, the company pays. So he said, let me see all those who have given their tithe. He gives a check for 25,000. And you think it's a tithe. His friend gives a check also for 25,000. You think it's a tithe. But that one, listen, he pays his own house rent out of the 250K. He buys his credit. He buys his fuel. He pays the installment payment on the car that he's driving. I forgot to mention to you that his father didn't have a house because he was training him and his younger ones through school. He has commissioned to take a portion of the salary for now to be patching up one small 3-bedroom bungalow in their hometown for the man. Humanly speaking, you don't know where one person came from and the other person. You can't judge who is faithful and who is not. And the other interesting part, it is not given to church, that's the only given to God. You don't know how many cousins the guy is paying their school fees. You have no idea. Because of time, we'll keep on developing these things. I told you something earlier and I should say it again. The reason why God blesses people, that's why I talked about that message I recommended for everybody, the switch of God's power. Maybe I should recommend some of them so that I won't have to go over all of those things. The doing of continual good works is so important for you as a believer. Because those are the things that God adds together to pour his love in a greater measure upon you tomorrow. Let me say this again before I go. You don't know what, do you get my point? Produces. Humanly speaking. And that's why people make me laugh. They say, go to God, tell him, I have paid my tithe. I say, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. You think it's only checkbooks they used to pay the tithe? The one you sent to your father. Like one of my friends said, there was one uncle that used to help them when they were young that one day he remembered the man and decided that his old car, he won't sell it. He's going to nice the car up and go and give to the man. He said one day he walked up to the man and gave the man money. You know, a small, maybe like 5,000 or something like an envelope. The man looked at it and began to pray. And you know, if nobody has ever looked at you and from the bottom of their heart said, God bless you, you are sick. And when I say sick, I don't mean mentally sick. You have a problem in life, you don't know it yet. Today, when we went to buy gas, as I was about to drive into the gas station, that's cooking gas, I saw the man at the gate. I told my wife, the man is a beggar. I said, I'm not giving you money today. So I drove in, bought my gas. As I was driving out, he opened the gate. He's supposed to check your ticket that you paid for the gas you bought. And he spoke one long sentence in Igbo. I don't speak Igbo, right? I made up my mind. There are two languages I learned in 2009, Igbo and Spanish. You think, just wait, come in 1 year's time, you will see me rapping. But you know the way it is. Language is not only words. You communicate three ways, Edco said, by words, by gesture, and by spirit. Word and gesture, spirit and gesture, you don't need to speak the language. It's only the words you need to know. Gesture and spirit. When he talked, I knew what he was saying. This one I don't understand, because I don't want to give you money. I said, okay, I don't understand what you have said. Oh, sorry, I was just wondering, you know, okay, whether pure water day, you know, this afternoon, I just said, not every time, I gave you last time. He said, okay, sir. Then, hey, give them my children in the car. Ah, my boy, how are you? He went to go and open the gate. I now took the money, that money, I just took 40 naira from it. I told my wife, give to him, Joe. So she wound down and handed him the money. Ah, the guy said, oh, God bless you. I told my wife, I needed that God bless you. And they add them together. I said, they put them together. If I give you as a beggar money, don't say God bless you. Come back next time. Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Job said, the soul of him that was about to perish blessed me. It's important. It's very important. Look, there are different people who can bless you. As a man of God, I can bless you. As a matter of fact, if you're ministering the word of God and somebody responds to that word, you can bless the person and it catches. Your earthly parents can bless you. Your superiors, you know. But very, very potent are those who are in need that you helped. Potent. Potent is a person who is in need. Who out of your, you know, the depths of your soul, go and read Job. Read Job chapter 29. That the people who were about to perish, they poured their blessing upon me. Let me tell you something. The reason why God blesses people in life, you don't know it. You don't know it. There are people you hate. You have hated them. No matter how much you hate them, they just keep on delivering more children. When God saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. You know that kind of thing. The reason you will never find out. There was something they did in a corner one day. I told you, the way God's caused him. Let us assume that guy was telling you about, let's assume he lived long. God healed him of his deafness. He went into business. And then this guy is making $10 million every other month. You will never link to the day he wanted to kick a cat. And he didn't. That's why, see, there are things. I read biographies to be informed. But I found out there was a book Inka gave me recently. A guy read this book. When I finished reading the book, one of these business boys, I said, Inka, take. I said, they are just observing, they can't connect. I said, the people who have written this book, they are observing, they can't connect. This one happened and this one happened. They can't tell you the connection. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man sowed. He said, night, if you read Amplify, he said, day by day, the man goes to sleep and he wakes up. He said, the earth by itself produces. This is where I'm coming to. He himself does not know how. Please. Oh God. I promise we'll close on time. And I'm going to maintain that. All right, so let me just quickly round up what I'm saying today, all right? There's something I was getting to. That's what I was explaining. This issue of, I said there are two things, reason why God blesses people, all right? One, you ask, we're not talking details about that. We're talking about when God loves people. And I'm talking about who's a cheerful giver. The cheerful giver is born out of what? Hope, faith, and love. And I was talking about the widow of Zarephath, talking about love. That I now took the tangent of talking about the prophet's reward. You know, that's where I was. So let me quickly return to that. Then we'll continue from there on Tuesday. All right? Now, so that video of Zarephath, I now began to explain that when she gave to the prophet, it was not because she was in lack. It was because of what? He was a prophet. And the Bible said, when you give to a prophet, you partake in the prophet's reward. And what I was telling is that all those people who give the canopy, who give the man food after preaching, and everything put together, when God wants to share the reward, he gives each person according to his faithfulness. That was what Paul taught us. That each man is rewarded according to the work he has done, not according to the results he got. The guy who was preaching, if he preached and preached and preached and preached for the 20-something days that God said, and none of those 18 to 26-year-olds give their life to Christ, he still gets a full reward because he's not responsible for hardening their hearts. Paul said that we have preached, all right, and some have believed. He said to the people that did not believe, it's because the God of this world blinded the eyes of the unbelieving, that they might not see the glory of the gospel of Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? It's not his fault. Paul plants, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. Each man, Paul said, receives his reward according to his labor. Each one gets the prophet's reward in full. In full. God said, these houses, how do we share it? How many were there present? Because God would not leave one on giving out. How many were present? Totally counts 100. So give that guy 4, give that guy 1. Don't give that guy anything. He was not very faithful. Give this guy 1. He shares the whole thing. What about the cars? Give him 1. University degrees, give 2 to that guy's children. He gives, that is, he shares it. It is not everything you have to consciously ask God for. Please listen to that message, the switch of God's power. It took God 25 years to give Isaac to Abraham because he was walking Abraham in a level. Listen, the day the final promise was released upon Sarah, what happened? They had just finished entertaining angels, not knowing they were angels. Out of the goodwill of their hearts, they entertained strangers. That was the day God released the final blessing. Listen, when God gives you a promise, what he's saying, walk with me, I'll produce this in your life. He now gives you the opportunity to walk into that thing by constantly doing good works. If you listen to that radio thing, if you're not there, please go and get the CD. I think we have it available. The power of godliness. I talked about the power of constant good works. It's the switch for God's power. It is. It is. God wants you to constantly. That I'm talking about, cheerful giver. I thought I would be able to finish that today, but I'll develop it again on Tuesday. A cheerful giver is born out of 3 things. Faith, hope, and what? And love. The widow of Zarephath gave to Elijah first because of love. She would give to any hungry person, especially if he was a prophet. And God knew she was that kind of person. And that was why he sent Elijah to her house in the first place. Not every widow could walk up and say, man of God, take my last meal and give me a breakthrough. Think about it. Could everybody just have done that? No. Because by the time he was leaving the Brook of Cherith, God gave him an address. There's a particular widow who had prepared to feed you. Go to Zarephath in Sidon. Identify the woman and stay with her. Do you get the point? So he came looking for that woman. It is not a spiritual key that give your last meal, you will get a breakthrough. No, it is not. I will say it to you again, so as to wash your brain off of what is not right. It is not a spiritual key that give your last meal, you will get a breakthrough. It is not. Nobody can emulate the widow of Zarephath on day one. It's a lifestyle that accumulates, that finally precipitates the day of breakthrough. On that day of breakthrough, a single act of kindness will bust the thing open. A single act of kindness was what opened finally the womb of Sarah. That was why he said, sow your seed in the morning, and at night, don't withhold your hand. You don't know which one will prosper, or whether both of them alike will do well. Do you get my point? Listen, Christianity is not kalu kalu. Let me end with this. I'll continue next time. You cannot, listen, no. You cannot tie your reward to a particular seed. You don't have the power. You can't wake up and say, God, I want this. This is my seed towards it. You don't have the power. You don't have the eyes to recognize spiritual seed. All you have been given to do is to constantly, day and night. Oh, let me read this scripture and I close with it. You constantly do good, day and night. The book of Titus, chapter 3. I read it on radio. I just said, because of my time, said, this is a trustworthy statement. Concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. He was talking to those who have already believed, that they may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things, he said, are good and what? Profitable for men, that they bring them profit. Listen, the believer is supposed to constantly tell your neighbor, please, eh? Do that for me. Tell the person constantly. 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 In good times and in bad times. You are supposed to constantly do good works. That's how you got the reward, your brethren. That's a matter of fact. Please let me stop there because my time is exactly up. Can we just bow down our heads to pray? Father, we thank you. Just give him thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.